Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you instruct us, that you are our great helper, that you have given us the Holy Spirit in our lives. Give you the glory and the honor. Thank you that you speak, teach, and thank you for the Holy Spirit in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, the first sessions, I will speak on how God sees us in Christ. How God doesn't love, in other words, God loves us regardless of our action. But this isn't something new that I'm teaching. This has been here for years. It's practically the same thing that I've been teaching. And every time you teach the truth or something, there will be people that will go to from one extreme to the other. That hasn't just happened to me. It happens to my mentors in the faith when they started hearing faith and prosperity. Well, they went to other extremes of prosperity and with money, and they started preaching, instead of preaching biblical prosperity, they started preaching materialism as the world. They thought that everything was based on just having houses, cars, and things. And when you preach freedom in Christ, some will understand it as debauchery. But not all. There's a group there, but not all. For others, it will bring freedom and understanding. For others, it'll increase our relationship with the Lord, and our lives will be better. Well, what I'm going to be seeing on today, and I mentioned it in the first sessions, if you remember, that will take you from new birth in this series to full maturity. Maturity means that there's something that we have to do and respond to God. For example, God loves you regardless of your action. No one denies that. God will not change if you're lost, if you're insane or doing something worse. God will love you the same. But that doesn't mean God will back you up in everything that you do and God will honor you. What you're doing is hardening your heart. And when a person hardens their heart, they stop walking faith. Faith is how you receive from God. Grace is the part of God. Faith is your part. Faith is how we respond to the grace of God. We live under the grace of God, under the love of God. But we don't live by grace. You need to learn to differentiate it. We live by faith in the grace of God. We could say it that way. For example, when the Bible says, but the just will live by faith. If I would have translated it, I perhaps would have put, the just will live by their faith. Version Hughes Amplified Classic, I perhaps would have placed in parentheses. And the just, by their faith, shall live in the grace of God. Because that's what that means. But if you don't understand this, the devil can play with your mind. For example, this is again experienced through many years. Some ministers that have known me and some pastors in the Phoenix area, for example, you teach too much debauchery and heresy. I have something. When someone accuses me of something like that, I don't defend myself. The world wants to defend themselves and try to explain everything. In the kingdom of God, it's all the contrary. I'm not going to go to the Bible, but I will remind you of something that is in the Bible. When the Lord was with the Roman soldiers there, that place, that crown of thorns, he never defended himself when they were making fun of him and abusing him. You don't need to defend yourself. The more you defend yourself, the more at fault you seem. You don't need to defend yourself too much, because not all will believe you. Assure your own heart. Amen. If yesterday, instead of being at home, I would have been in a bar with another woman, because my wife and my children were in Tucson and I stayed here in Douglas. If I would have gone to a bar with another woman at Sierra Vista or Phoenix, and they would have taken photos or videos of me, how can I defend myself? That's where that test is, huh? Can't do anything, but my heart would not be pure. But when your heart is pure, when you know the truth, God and you know the truth, that's the important part. Amen. Well, let's see something here then on the love of God. The power of the love of God. And in all, I'm speaking on the love of God. There's a part here where you have to respond to this and you need to operate in it. Amen. First Corinthians 8, verse 2. In this series and other study series that I've been giving, I will be using this verse a lot. 8:2. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Someone told me years ago, I'll never forget what I learned with you, Brother Hughes. That's a lie, you will forget. There are two types of knowledge and understanding. We have the knowledge here in our mind. Things of the Bible can become just as a memory, for example. Many, when you stop listening to something, you don't become conscious of it. For example, you can know verses that speak on healing, and you can say them, and you know them by memory. But there's no revelation. You don't live by them. But when you have intimacy with the Lord and His Word, you're constantly in the Word and in the Bible, listening to the same. There are always new phases of revelation. I was surprised Thursday evening. I have a friend, good friend of mine, and he has his family in Colorado, and he comes through here. When my friend came over and stayed over at the other house, having vacations on his friend, he brought someone over, and he said, "Oh, my friend Ignacio here is a pastor. We're all from Hermosillo." When we started speaking of our TV program, talking about the app that we have, just speaking of the Lord. And interestingly, this person, I don't know how much they know of the Lord, but they said, it's because you need to hear sometimes. In other words, I realized, I don't know if perhaps this was true or not, but I was surprised that they have much more common sense than many Christians of the world. Haven't you met some people from the world who have better understanding or perhaps better common sense than some Christians? Of the importance of listening, because you listen to something one time, but then you listen to it again, what this person said, and you listen to it again, you say, "Hey, but I was there and I had already heard that. How did I not realize that?" Compared to Christians have told me, "Oh, I'll never forget." Well, you will forget. You will forget. Because faith is something that you're constantly listening to. And you're not just listening, you're connected to it. There's a spiritual connection there. Amen. Now, on the power of love of God. Many errors in many Christians, especially in the area of faith, where they ask for faith. "Oh Lord, I need more faith. Give me more faith, Lord." You heard that before. God bless them, but you don't need more faith than what you have. You need to use the one that you already have. You need less unbelief. And I want you to understand this word, to operate in it, flow in it. Not operating as in a surgery, more so using it, working in it. Now, according to the Bible, you don't need more love. How many of you sometime, perhaps raise your hand, doesn't matter. No one's judging you here. Be honest with yourself. How many of you have prayed lately or years ago saying, Lord, give me more love? Give me more love with the people. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, thank you for your sincerity. Some of you have spent years listening to this and you haven't still understood it. I hope now you understand it. You don't need more love. Again, you need to operate more in love. There's a difference there. Not the same. Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 5, 5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out. Not that it was given to you by drops. It was poured out on you. Instead of saying, give me more love, pray this. Father, thank you that I flow more in your love. I know how to operate more in the love of God towards the people. There's a difference between asking and give me more love. You're asking what you have. Some of you for years have stayed with me. I've spoken so much on by the stripes of Jesus, we've been healed, that you're not willing to ask God, Lord, heal me. So then why do you say, Lord, give me more love? Why do you say, Lord, forgive me? You don't need to say that. Why? Because words create a habit. God will not stop loving you if you say, heal me or give me more love or forgive me. The issue isn't God. One more time, you have to understand the issue isn't God. Sin is not an issue. The Lord already took care of all sin through Christ Jesus. So people still struggle. Some of you, I'll say this, and it's as if it's an electrical discharge on your brain. One more time. God already dealt with all sin through Christ Jesus. God has no issues with sin. The issue that God has and continues to have is with the heart of man, with the unbelief of man, the lack of receiving from him. God doesn't have issues with sin. When I say issues or problems, perhaps my way of understanding the expression that I'm using and your way of using it is different. I don't know if I'm communicating that idea with you. When I say God doesn't have issues with it, I'm referring to the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. So what part of this do you not understand? The way that religion interprets it is, oh, it doesn't matter that I'm in sin. Oh, well, of course it matters. Sin will destroy you and harden your heart. And you won't perceive the goodness of God. Therefore, you won't perceive faith and won't operate or use the faith that you have because there's condemnation. A person who walks in condemnation will not use faith, regardless of what they say. It's impossible. Contradicts the scriptures. Once your conscience condemns you, you won't operate in faith. Amen. Sin is emotional. When you speak on the love of God, you cannot be asking for it and asking for more love. Something that you already have. Before continuing, did you understand the point on sin? Do you understand that God doesn't have issues with sin itself? When I say issues or problems, don't interpret it in your kind mind, please, as oh, God doesn't care how I live. No, don't interpret it that way. Because that's not what I'm trying to share with you. When I say he doesn't have issues with it, is that his focus more so is on your heart. You understand that point? Why doesn't God have issues with sin? Because he already dealt with all sin in the Lord Jesus. Sin, when a Christian is in sin, God continues dealing with that Christian. The issue that you could say, oh, why is it that the life of that Christian doesn't change? Because Sin, what sin does is harden the heart of the Christian. So he no longer hears or perceives the goodness of God. You understand? Regardless of how much you could say, oh, God loves you, God is with you, he wants to help you, you don't even believe it because you don't perceive it that way. If you're understanding. I always repeat this point after. And you'll understand it more once you understand that the issue isn't God. The issue isn't sin. Actually, the issue isn't necessarily the devil. You know who the issue is? One more time. It's your heart. It's my heart. It's unbelief. It's the lack of understanding of the Word of God. I remember when my pastor in heaven, who is now in heaven, would tell me, Your greatest enemy is not the devil. I remember he told me one time, and I got so surprised. He said it in the congregation, and I almost fell back. He said, your greatest enemy is the lack of understanding. The lack of understanding of the word. And the devil takes advantage of that. Legally, he is destroyed. Now I'll continue. I said Romans, correct? 5:5? Now let's see then the power of the love of God. God always sees the motive of your heart. If your heart is not correct, your motives are not correct, God loves you. God will not change. But, you see, he wants to manifest, but he can't. Your heart isn't right. Not that he doesn't love you, but he cannot, because God established these laws. I want you to understand this, of the love of God. He established these laws that you can understand and flow in them and operate in them. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. What's that? He sees the intention of your heart. Remember, what you do with faith is this. What faith does, your faith responds to God. On Thursday, although I'm dealing with another series or another subject, but it will be pretty much the same as this. I said, when God relates with you, God relates with you based on grace and mercy. Amen. You respond to that grace and that mercy. You respond by faith. One more time. You respond by what? By faith. That's the way that you respond to God. To that grace and that mercy. By faith. Your faith, everything that you do is respond to the love of God. To the finished works of Christ Jesus. Now, on the contrary, this sin and disobedience gives place to the devil. Understand it this way. If you had a fish, if you had a fish, where do you think it'll flow better? If you throw it there on the floor, or if you put it in the stream? Stream. Well, in that way, sin and disobedience is how Satan flows with that, like a fish in a stream, and he has authority over you. So faith and disobedience in response, faith and obedience in response, the Spirit of God and the anointing of the kingdom can move in your favor, the fish and water. You understand? Now understanding the motive. 1 Corinthians, verse 13. Now, we're going to see some of these words, believing that I'll have enough time. 13:1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It's not that you don't have it, Marshall, you do have it. What it's saying is, you don't have love work. You don't use it. You don't flow in the class, in the type of love of God. But have no love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have no love, I have nothing. It means then, notice, a man can prophesy, can have all the faith of love and move circumstances, but have no love, although for God, you change the circumstances here for your own life or someone else. To God, you're just making sound. Where did Paul speak this? I know the question might seem a bit dumb because we're in Corinthians. But I want there to be understanding. There's a difference between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is just, you can know verses. We can go to the Bible and quote them. I mean, saying which part they are of the Bible. And that's fine. Wisdom now is how to apply what you're reading. But understanding is that, do you understand what you're reading? Not just read. Do you understand? That's the understanding. When knowledge, you add understanding. That's then when there's a revelation, when there's light. And so wisdom comes. To know what to do. Wisdom, why it's not just reading. It's not just seeing verses. It's understanding. If you understand this, we're in chapter 13, verse 1. So as you know, when this was originally written, there was neither verses nor chapters. This was a letter. So the Apostle Paul here was speaking of something very interesting. In 12, he spoke of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You following along? If I'm going too fast, let me know from there. When the Apostle Paul wrote this, it was a letter. But before this, in 12, he spoke of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who was he speaking to? The Corinthians. The brothers who were in a city called Corinth. Amen. The issue that, what was the issue then that was dealing with that? I'm not going to go there because I'm going to use time. But they were the most carnal people that there could be. They're the most argumentative, just fighting, dissension, divisions. They'd use the supper of the Lord to become drunk. We studied that the Lord spoke to them and said, your body is temple of the Holy Spirit, because many of the men there had the habit of going to the temple and sleeping with the prostitutes. That's when the Apostle Paul said, yeah, that's right, you've been born again, because some of them would use the grace of God that they had learned to walk in debauchery and said, hey, well, we're saved. And I'm saved. And some of them say, I'm a child of God, and I know it, and I know it, and I know it. And Paul would start writing this. He said, yeah, that's fine, you're a child of God, but you have a new nature in you now. Now the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You're one with God. And he started teaching things, as we've seen here. Which is why he writes chapter 11. For example, he mentions the Last Supper of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 11. For first of all, when you come together at a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. There must be also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. They would use the wine to become drunk. And when supposedly they would sit down to take part of that communion, since there were so many of them, some would start eating just because they were hungry. Their motive was wrong. Verse 22. What? Do you not have houses to eat or drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Then 23, he uses the verses where it says, I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you. So Paul here, etc. Paul had issues with the people. The apostle had issues. Because they were so prideful, they thought that because they flowed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said, yeah. Because God will manifest through what there is. Not that you're special. He used a mule in the Old Testament. So he can use you, just paraphrasing things that Paul could have told them. Now, here we reach the point where he explains of the gifts. Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 31 speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the ministry and the ministry of helps, the first time that we see this here. Be earnest, but earnestly desire the best gifts. What are the best gifts? The ones that are needed in that moment. If a person is dying, we need gifts of healing or the gifts of miracles. We don't need prophecy necessarily. Would it be prophecy, yeah, to encourage that person, but amen. The right time. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What way is that? What was that? No. Huh? Bring it up. Yell it. The love. Which is why he starts speaking 13, known as the chapter of love. He spoke of the motive. A while ago, he took you in Proverbs when he said, but when God sees your heart. Now reading it in this order. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, shows you a more excellent way. Now, I have to explain this. When there is a more excellent way, meaning that love is superior to the gifts, pay attention. What it's saying is he was teaching them that the motive of flowing in the gifts should be love, and the behavior of these people, you could tell that there was no love in them. Meaning then, they wouldn't flow in that love. A person then, because they prophesy, because they say something from God saying, oh, thus says the Lord, means that they walk in love. You're seeing it right here. These people would operate in the gifts like any other church, unlike any other church. Nevertheless, they were the most carnal. Am I saying that all people who walk in the gifts are carnal? No. What I'm saying is don't put in the same category. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, but have no love, I am nothing. Now do you understand? You understand its context. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, but have no love, it profits me nothing. Meaning, you and I can give money here in the church, but my motive is in love. It's not because I love God, and because I love the people in the love of God. What's the love of God? Well, I won't touch on it too much today, but for example, we spoke in the Greek, the word of love, as one of them being sexual love between a man and a woman, a husband, wife. But in this case, we're speaking the word agape, the unconditional love of God. And that's where it comes. You cannot love your brother or your friend unconditionally up until you don't understand how much God loves you unconditionally, which is why I used up 10, 12 hours in speaking on the love of God. You cannot love anyone speaking in your brother in Christ, and you will struggle if you do not understand that it's the unconditional love of God.
The Word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and welcome to Word of Faith Ministries. We're all about sharing biblical, practical, and balanced teachings that you can trust. Through our teachings, special broadcasts, and live videos, we aim to spread the gospel far and wide. And if you share what we do, you're helping us reach even more people and keep this mission going. Thanks for being part of it.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Hi, I'm Kayla, daughter of Pastors Ignacio and Novia Hughes from Word of Faith Ministries, and I want to highly recommend my spiritual grandfather Kenneth Copeland's book, The Joy and Power of the Tithing Covenant. I have read it myself, and I can assure you it explains in detail how the tithe is prevalent under grace. I encourage you to obtain a copy and see how it will change your mindset and free you from any doubt that you may have concerning the subject of the tithe. Please visit kcm.org to order it.
You understand now. Up until you don't understand it, you don't receive it, you won't be able to flow in this love. Praise the Lord that I came to church. It's very important because faith now operates through that love, based on that love. Now, you can say that you love the people and that you love the brothers in Christ. Your actions will say the contrary. But Brother Hughes, really? Yeah, I'll show you with the Bible. I mentioned it on Thursday. My point is to show you the truth, not to obligate you to believe in everything. Nor can God obligate you. My job is to teach you. Now, one more time. Notice how 4 starts. I read it very slowly. Don't read all the words, because I told you that there needs to be understanding. Start with the first one. Characteristic. These are the characteristics of the love of God. I'll speak in not in such a complete way, but it'll give you the idea. First one says that love suffers long. What do we understand in our culture? Because I've been to many places, but I've realized the culture of Douglas and AP is a very different culture to many other places that I've been at. Normally, what do you understand with long suffering? Example, I'm just struggling here. Suffering, not necessarily. There's a word that we should use more often. You could say, oh, that person, you learn of someone who has gone through different situations. This brother that I once knew, in an accident, his wife and children passed away. He wasn't there with them. And then 3 months later, his father passed away. And then months later, his mom died. It's just saying, oh man, that brother is so strong. In a certain way, yeah. Perhaps you've heard it. Perhaps you read it in the Bible and you didn't even realize what it meant. That word translated from the Spanish is longanimity. Remember how I told you that the culture here, you can speak Spanish and not understand. Long suffering, the proper translation. We translate it from a long encouragement. In the Greek, makrothumio, that's what it indicates, long suffering. Perseveres, which is why I put it this way. Long-suffering, right up there in the Spanish, I wrote that word so we can understand it. Because if I would have just put suffering, you would have understood it that way. Oh, I'm just suffering here. Long-suffering may sound a bit weird. Long-suffering. Perseveres with patience and courage. In enduring misfortunes and problems. But understand, it's not the person. It's the love in that person. When you hear someone say that they go through something and they say, I can't deal with it too much. This is too much for me. I can't handle this. You're not operating in the love of God then. I know it may sound harsh. As if we don't have any love. Or a lack of mercy. But I'm just showing what the Bible says. He's patient in bearing offenses and the insults of others. So a moment ago, if you want to defend yourself, how do you react when someone accuses you of something? And you go and start fighting with them and arguing? It could be that for some reason we haven't received the manifestations of the love of God that we've been living for how we react. And we want to justify ourselves that because this person screamed at you, or because that this person treated you wrongly or accused you of something. Welcome to the club. How are you going to react? Are you going to put nonsense on social media? Why am I so against that? I'll explain why. Not because of my ideas as such. Doesn't the Bible say that we should give testimony to the world? We should be the light of the world. How then can we win over the world and testify to the world of the Lord and of the love of God? And then the same world realizes the nonsense that we put up there. It's another characteristic of those people not operating in this love. One of the characteristics here, as I mentioned a moment ago, I hope to be able to reach that point soon. long-suffering from the Royal Spanish Academy, greatness and consistency of mind in adversity, fortitude, firmness, temperance, magnanimity, a good thing that you're writing this down. Now I'm going to ask you something. And this isn't condemnation of anyone, because I've asked this question as well over the years. How many times have I failed in walking in this? Yeah, everyone. Oh, yes. Amen, Pastor. Now, I'll ask you, how many times have you failed? I want to hear more amens and more head nods. Yes, come on. One of the definitions that we saw in the Greek, very similar, just they use many more words. To auto-control yourself when being provoked. Spirit here is not speaking of the human spirit, it's more so your attitude. It's controlled when it comes to being provoked. How many times have you fought with members of your family or someone in your family because they started poking you, said, "Oh, you're not going to talk to me that way." It could be then many things. For that reason, many things have not been manifest of what you're believing for. And one can use all types of justifications in the natural. One time I was in a church, and again, I'm not saying that I've done everything perfectly, because I haven't, but by the grace of God, I was more wise and I operated more in the love of God. So sometimes I was in a church and speaking on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I finished talking and people came forward. And there was a sister, the whole time that I was talking was with her arms crossed and with a face of very little friends. Somewhere around the second line of where I was, the second row where I was preaching. And when she went forward, that everything, some started flowing in tongues and I started placing hands, saying, "Everything that you spoke is a lie," and spit in my face. Right here, on my cheek. You know what I did very quickly, because the people who were towards my right, I was ministering from the left towards the right, from that side to the other. When I started ministering, the people who were there, someone still there, they just went, "Huh." You know what happened? They lost focus. Then some ushers got up, the pastor got up, and I just got a handkerchief out quickly. Cleaned my face. I said, "Oh yeah, it's fine," and I continued. I don't remember if it was baptism of the Holy Spirit or something like that, but I was ministering to the people. I didn't want to, because it's because she spit on my face, and all the cardinals there were giving me the reason and saying, "Oh yeah, it's because she spit at you." And then the ushers grabbed her from the arm and said, "Let's go, sister," towards the outside, and they took her out. Not that they were dragging her, but They were grabbing her, and she was just screaming obscene things. Those are the Christians of today, because they haven't understood who they are in Christ. They haven't changed or renewed their mind. And it'll cost you. You won't do it perfect from one day to another, but you will have to submit your flesh. And believe me, saying, "Oh, but when will this happen?" Believe me, brothers and sisters, the Lord will give you opportunities every day of being provoked on the street. How will you react? In another occasion, I was in Phoenix and I had a cap that said Trump on it. Ooh. Got off at a shopping center. Another person got off with their wife. When they parked next to me, I saw them when they got off their car. But I was minding my own business. I was doing my own thing. thinking thinking of things that I had to do, etc. Suddenly, I saw that man standing in front of me, right here, screaming to me in English some terrible things. I didn't even understand why at first. And I don't have issues even when they're screaming at me, even if they're cussing at me. The Bible says that I condemn all tongues that comes against me. My issue is when they get very close to me and haven't brushed their teeth. That's what I, and that's what I don't like. That's the only thing I can't handle. So I had to take a few steps back and I put my hands like that. I said, relax, what's wrong with you? What are you talking about? I didn't even remember at the moment. Praise the Lord that suddenly he did this. He saw here to my side and he saw my gun. And when he saw that, he went back. I hadn't even remembered, nor did I show it off in any way. And I just spoke calmly and I said, but why are you saying all of this? I hadn't understood at first. And he said, oh, this, and the other. At this point, he wasn't talking so roughly. He had lowered his voice. We're in a free country. Another occasion, arriving here at church, I was in church, a car there on the other street, I couldn't understand what they were saying, and I went out. And you know what I thought? I thought that a kid, perhaps, those who arrived earlier, glory to God, that some kid got out. It was in the corner, and I thought they were screaming to that kid, I said, out or something. And I went out. When I went out, with a smile, I said, oh, good evening. Showered me some words in English and in Spanish. I just looked and I said, God bless you. Have a good day. And I went inside. Minutes later, he stood out there again, telling me everything and even what I was going to die of. You have two options. Operate the same as they do, as children of the devil, or operate as a child of God. The only difference is, if that person would have gone off and tried to attack me physically, then I have to defend myself because he could hurt me. Apart from that, as long as they don't get near me or don't put their hands on me, then I've flown the love of God. Even with that, if someone were to attack me, and I was going to defend myself, but I'm going to be praying in tongues while I defend myself. I would rebuke that demon. Because we have a new nature in us. If you struggle with that, you'll struggle with the love of God. And we just try to justify ourselves saying, oh, he attacked me. He told me about my mom and he said this and the other. Tell me something new of the world. You understand? The other point that we see there. Home, generous, lovable, kind, benevolent, gentle, compassionate. What do you do when people come and attack you that way? You have to act benevolently. The world will say, oh, no, no, no. The world is, oh, he came and told me this, so then I'm not going to let myself be. It's because, have you heard, whenever they'll mention their last name as if saying, like, oh, really? Forget about it. Do you think God sees that? God doesn't care about that. He sees you in Christ. I told you, I used 12 hours to remind you who you are in Christ, and it's all in your spirit. Do you think you're going to impact God that way, even the devil? It's because you lose control. Like, oh, bravo, cool. Give yourself a hand clap. No, I'm kidding. I was already doing it here. One told me, it's because I don't like it when they tell me anything in front of my wife. And? What's the difference? Or it's because that's how we all are in our family, Cardinal. And the other one says, here's another one. Love has no envy. And why is it that they give him this, not me? My brothers and sisters, this is something that you have to operate. Characteristics you have to operate in. Don't expect to say, oh Lord, there are Christians. God bless them. Lord. Make it so where I have no envy and make it so I have this and that. You're wasting your have it. You have to decide to flow in it. Now, of course, there are ways perhaps you can seek verses that speak of this. Put them in your heart. Pray in other tongues. Meditate the scriptures. Believe me, you'll stop walking in the carnal to walk in the spiritual. In other words, I understand you. As I said, don't think that I've done everything perfectly either. Actually, if you read this and the more you study it, you'll understand this. I'm going to interrupt this for a moment. Not anything new, just so you can understand it. Romans 12. Or Hebrews, sorry. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5. My son, do not despise the chastising of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. God bless my brothers in Christ. Many have translated this of chastising. As to say, oh, the Lord is chastising me with an illness, Brother Hughes. No, God is a spirit. More so, it's your mind here. The more you read this, the more you study it. Here, perhaps I can assure you, if you're honest, inside of you say, oh, forgive me, Lord. There's a conviction inside of you. That's the chastising of the Lord, not illness, not cancer. It's when you even feel bad, the memory that comes to you when we act carnally. Oh my God. But thank you for your word. And thank you for your patience. And thank you because you have been patient with me. Very patient. Actually, the Lord with me has been long-suffering. Is that when you start meditating and thinking on this, that the Bible says that the goodness of God guides you to repentance? Not fear, not the fear to consequences. Now you also have to be wise and not just be using of things. But remember, there are people who would change because saying, well, I don't want any more consequences. They'll give because they say, oh, when we give in the kingdom of God, we prosper. But your motive is wrong. You should change. Because if you start thinking about it, well, I'll speak of myself, not you, because you're very perfect, but I'm not. If I start thinking how many times I've made a mistake in this, how many times I haven't operated. Now, of course, it's easy to say, oh, to remind the times that I did operate in it. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. No, when I didn't. Thank my God. You have been so good. You have been so merciful. That's when that chastising, not that God chastises you purposefully, but with the mind, you recognize, you say, wow, how great is that love? You know what? It, literally, God just, because the love is so great, you start thinking, I deserve more terrible things to happen to me than what has happened out of disobedience, just in this area alone. But your mercy has been great. And when you meditate that, you are so good. That's what changes. That's what makes you repent the love of God. It milks your heart from. Hallelujah. Some of you, especially women, make a stew or something. Have you seen when you put the meat to cook, what happens when you put it on for too much? It starts dissolving, right? That's how the love of God is. He starts dissolving you. You start when I say dissolve, it's changing that way of thinking. Glory to God. Envy. James 3. 16. There are some words that I didn't describe them too much because, well, you already know them. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. You have envy? Oh, Lord. Praise God. But how I see it in the churches and pastors competing with one another. Envy this and envy the other and saying this, this and that. You'll be surprised how God sees things differently. What can I say of envy? Very terrible, huh? Galatians 5 verse 6. Verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If you read in the New Testament, especially Galatians and Colossians, you'll see things there that it says that we shouldn't do. How can I conquer all those things, Brother Hughes, with the love of God inside of you? You have to operate through faith, of course. You have to flow in faith. Amen. Actually, envy is a side of self-centeredness. You're thinking only on yourself. Hallelujah. Brother Hughes, I like how Sister Medea preaches more. Oh, good. Glory to God. How I can travel more. One time, a sister told me, sister in Christ, like, when she preaches, like a glass of fresh water, very thirsty. Oh, yes, how nice. Like when someone's so thirsty, they give you a very refreshing, nice, cool glass of water. How nice. What about me, sister? No, you, it's as if you let a dam just open up. I said, gee, thanks. She said, you're welcome. Hey, but I don't envy anyone. Because I know what God called me to. Oh, I like how Vicente Mora preaches more. He puts more cream on the top and says, hey, that's fine. Glory to God. I like them to scream at me all the time. Okay, huh? I have no envy of anyone. I'm not competing with anyone. I'll give you another word. Then, what's the next one? Love is not boastful. Being boastful. If I've ever recently given you a card of mine, I just say Ignacio Hughes. Back then, it would be pastor or teacher, this and that. And I have to understand that the person is not being boastful. A person recommended it to me, but this person is a professional. Meaning, if you're a lawyer, you have to put there your name and then lawyer. If you're a doctor, well, doctor so and so. If you're an engineer, engineer of such title, because that's the presentation that you give to the world, but not the things of God. And this person said, and put this and the other. And I said, I don't like that. When I go to churches, the majority of pastors, you'll be surprised, the majority of pastors that invite me to preach, they didn't know me necessarily, didn't understand. They knew that I was a pastor and that I was a preacher. But once I was there, they would ask. And one time a pastor asked me, presented that way. I'll tell you how he presented the congregation, sitting down, not like where Ale is at right now. He said, come. Brother Hughes, come. Here comes everyone with hands clapped. Stand on your feet. Give a loud clap for a great man of faith. Now, I don't want to also be rude because he did it in a good heart, but I don't like that. So when I got up, I said, I gave him a hug. I said, oh, thank you. So I said, more so, brothers and sisters, more so, I'm just a man who teaches the word of God, who serves a great God of faith. And when I go out and traveling and I present myself, I say, just present me as Brother Hughes. Why normally when I travel, I say, oh, Brother Hughes, because that's how all the churches present me, Brother Hughes. I've been in places where people of higher titles think, oh, here he is, and they stand me up there. Just out of education, I stand up, but I like it. Not an artist. Not a celebrity. I'm a child of God who preaches the word. That's it. And by the grace of God, I am where I am. By the grace of God, I pastor. I also, the pastor told me, oh, present yourself. What do you do? Multimedia. Already had a screen there, but they're in the middle. About this size, but there. And I had given them the information. Because the pastor said, give them the information of you. The pastors and understanding the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the ministry. I said, well, what are you more of? An evangelist to this? And I said, no, I'm more I'm more a pastor, and by the grace of God, I'm more a teacher, and my wife and I, we pastor a small church in Douglas. On another occasion, with a minister who has a high title in ministry, and he was standing where I was, and there were many people there of his ministry, and I was as a minister of prayer or a minister of healing. People come, and the people down there pray for the sick. This man, preaching in English, said, oh, and all these people are graduates of this college and this and that. I have a lot of trust in them. Oh, and also, is Ignacio Hughes there in Douglas, Arizona, and and his wife, Nubia, and a couple thousand there in that reunion. Well, there was a long line there because this man had presented me there. Oh, how nice. Yeah, the thing is that the service was over. Everyone had left and I'm still praying for the people. I wanted to go to sleep. But then this happened. This was about two or three services after because there was about five sessions. This was perhaps second or third session. Well, he said, this is Ignacio Hughes. This is Ignacio Hughes, and he's a preacher of faith, and saying in English, and he's stronger than horseradish. And that's why people wanted to come up and pray for me. But then they all started also asking for my business card. No, I can't. I'm not here to promote my ministry. I'm here to... The boastful ones who will promote themselves. I, to this day, tell you of Brother Copeland. And I speak of this other person. I speak of... I promoted Pastor Copeland, Brother Copeland's book. We did a presentation in Spanish. A boastful person gives publicity to themselves. Not saying that you shouldn't give publicity to your business or something like that. I understand. This is when you need to walk in the love of God and truly know honor. So they started asking me so many times that I started asking that in that moment, that ministry, because I was only helping them. I said, these people, and there was a few, that if in the next services you could give them business cards. So what did you say? What did you say? I said, no, I'm not here to promote my ministry. I'm here to help you. So she mentioned, yes, but so-and-so, the head of that church already promoted you. I said, you can give. But I'm just going to ask, I said, a question with people in a higher position. I feel very uncomfortable. I don't like that. You know why? I started going through the back because people were talking here and I had to go out and everyone just... I just said, yes, it's me. I'm your pastor. The same one as always. I know some are praying for me for there to be a change of pastor, but not just yet. So I don't like to feel the intention of others. You know, when someone comes and they're giving a testimony, I do this. I sit down here. But the camera or the intention is on the person who's speaking. Because you know that God is your source. I'm not bothered, for example, when someone and is preaching, you're saying amen, amen, and they're just, oh, when is this going to be over? I'm not bothered at all. People who say, oh, so-and-so, or how is it that you do say amen to them, but with you, pastor, they don't. Instead of throwing dirt on that person, perhaps it's something else that you need to understand. You know what? A mature person who walks in the love of God, the first thing that they do when you're going to de-escalate the situation. I'm going to say, what? De-escalate, as in, instead of get a bigger deal, you're going to lower it. You're going to put the focus on it. And you said, you know what? The thing is, my style is a bit different. I teach. And this brother, a pastor who came some time ago, the preacher, saying, amen, and you put some fire in it. That's fine. There's diversity in that's true diversity in the body of Christ, not the one that the world is preaching, but that's another subject. I'm in government. Oh, that looks so wrong. Oh, yeah, well, it doesn't, brother. Have peace. Since my thing is to preach, well, they need to be paying attention to understand what I'm doing. That's it. That's what the love of God does. Not saying, oh, Brother Hughes, that this person said this about you. And this brother that has so many years said this and the other. I said, oh, okay. Well, he's a leader. Then I'll speak with him and say, hey, don't be saying that. Not because I'm offended, but because you look wrong. But if it's another brother, so-and-so, I just tell these people who tell me that, oh, sometimes the people say nonsense. But if we pray, the Lord will deal with them and they'll repent. That's what a person who walks in the love does. The love of God does. You understand? We'll study this later. Because if you notice, there might be a contradiction in verse 4. Read it there. In verse 4 and verse 7, it may seem like a contradiction, but in the Greek, it's something. You understand the motive to give now. Tell me if you see all of this, you say, oh man, the Lord is so good. Lord, I want to sow in this morning in the kingdom of God. I believe that my seed will produce a hundredfold return. Hallelujah. Your seed produces, but guard your heart. I'm speaking this because if you want to see your finances increase, guard your mouth of speaking carnalities. Don't poison your children. A great error that many Christians do is they have an issue with something, they get mad with somebody, and they speak death, terrible things of those other people in front of their children. And their children grow up poisoned and with it. And then those children are literally rebuking the devil, but you invited the devil in. A great mistake. They haven't understood this, the love of God. Stand on your feet.
A smooth comes down. And you see it like something very normal, especially if you're in a table with brothers. And you start and become biblical and say, yeah, the Bible. According to them, they're judging with the right righteousness, but what type of friendships we have with their Christian brother. Sometimes they're the worst. To operate more in the love of God, nature, and if you want your faith. Don't waste your time praying. If you're going to pray with an act of thankfulness. Wasn't it great? Mercy? I might. On the weekdays, I didn't finish this. Pray. Father, thank you that you walk in love, that I'm not vain, that I don't do any. That I'm not supposed to. Renew your mind and change your way of thinking. Have mercy. Those who even curse you and criticize you, have mercy because. You're being guided by the devil, and when somebody criticize you and you want to grow and purple and green like the Hulk, say, wow, that's not good. You say, thank you, Lord. You have been merciful. How many times have I not said that I shouldn't have said? And the Lord was. Immediately, that green Hulk, like, banner will just immediately. Will make himself small and the Hulk will. Lord, praise you for your truth. Thank you. Thank you for good. Your mercy is forever. Thank you for your truth that you are our helper to walk in together. Thank you that with your word and the Holy Spirit, we change our minds and more and more and more manifestation the Lord already paid for, then we'll be able to say, believe I'm healed, I cast out this on quickly. And many of the problems that were in situation, sadness, if Christians walk in depression, they're never in joy. They're always judging and everything they see, that they hear, they're always criticizing. They're never in a good place. Because being like that, being a carnal person produces that depression, that lack of joy. It's all an act of the devil. It has nothing to do with the Lord. And if the Lord does have authority here, it causes depression, consequences. You open doors to the devil. The devil has already cause problems, and when there are attacks from the devil, you give him opportunity to leave. Some of them have. You know what reigns in your house? By the grace of God. I like to be in my house because it's peaceful, lots of laughs. My daughters laugh. I mean, a fly passes by and they laugh. They laugh about anything. Everything's funny. Everything's cute. Everything's nice. And that's how I like it. I used to come out of my bedroom and I said, what is going on? I want anybody to pick a fight. And I came out to say your authority. And they would give me a weird eyesight. And they were just laughing. To God, peace, tranquility, joy. The Bible says that a merry heart does us good. One of the things that when sometimes youth group. when the youth go to my house, I mean, they don't want to leave. They eat two or three times, and they don't want to leave. They tell Caleb, the kids, there's no people here. And that peace produces such hunger. But it's okay. I don't say it in a bad way. I like that. That they can feel that peace, that joy, that. What type of people are you? Those people that when they see you and they see you joyous and they want to come near you, or when they see you, they're trying to avoid you? Glory to God. Whatever is inside you is transmitted. That dullness. You ever eaten garlic? It's healthy, but man. And bitterness is worse than garlic. I mean, it's good to eat garlic, but it's bitterness is worse than garlic. But the joy of the Lord is contagious, that peace. Yeah. And we need to be an example to others. Yeah. Good Lord. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your peace. Thank you that we walk in the love of the Lord even more. Even more. It's never enough. Even more. flow in faith and prosperity and abundance, and anything we do prospers. In the name of Jesus Christ, have peace. Standing revelation of your word, we give thanks because our seed produce financial seeds. Thank you that you help us manifest the laws of sowing and harvest. We give you all honor, glory, worship, and we exalt you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.